worship with us today. The announcements this morning, there will be a society meeting at 7 p.m. on the 23rd here at the church. And the 29th will be a softball picnic. It'll be our CLC kickoff. Supper will be at 6:30, and softball will follow. It will be at Carl and Mary's. So invite anybody that you want to come. Bring some food to share with the rest. Anything else?
Shall we pray? Dear Father in heaven, we do thank you for your love to us. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for the many blessings you bestow upon us. We ask that you would be with us today. Help us to listen to you, to speak to our hearts and to our lives. Help us to apply what you have given us to listen to. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you for all these things. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Good morning. It is sharing time. And I just know there are people that want to share. And then there's some people that we've kind of coerced into sharing. We're not going to tell you which ones, but, you know. But we will love them. No, coerced, honey, not forced.
Forced. So, I went to Durley Christian Camp this summer with Amelia. And the first thing I'm going to say is that humidity in Illinois is very different from the dry warmness that we have here. And the humidity made me deeply appreciate the dryness. But that's not the point. We had a great speaker who was just really good at connecting to teenagers. And I just thought that that's a really good thing to have at a teen camp. And Amelia and I went through some struggles with our cabin mates, but who doesn't? It's camp, you don't know anybody. But we had a lot of fun overall, and at the end of the week we didn't exactly want to go home, but we did because we knew that we had a very long drive with some fun children ahead of us. So during the week at camp, he asked us, we had communion on the last day, and he asked a bunch of people if they had given their lives to Christ, and Amelia and I have already done that, so we had told him, and he told us to go and pray with our counselors, so we went, and I don't know, it was just really important to me that my counselor was, like, very understanding of everything that we told her, and like, we could trust her, and we knew that she wouldn't say anything to anyone else, and that's just a really good feeling to have when you're surrounded by people you don't know. And I just think that the people there were just absolutely amazing, and it was just a really great experience for me.
Awesome. Good report. Thank you. I'm glad somebody coerced you into doing that.
Well, I am very thankful for all that the Lord has done for us through the years, and especially for my brother Larry, who has been broken for a long time, broken bones and broken spirit, and he finally got out of rehab, and he's walking with his new foot. And then my brother Tom had a heart attack and had to have stents put in. He's doing so much better and even walking better than he was. So I praise God for my brothers.
Amen. See, I love praises. Even if they're coerced. Don't all ask at one time. Okay. I agree. You go, buddy.
It's been a great week. We had the grandkids all week, and that was amazing. Really, it was. We did a lot of things. I got things accomplished. Cordell is a great worker on the farm and helpful, except, and I will share this one instance, we did bike rides nearly every night, and it was sort of my fault, but Cord was always racing ahead, and Maggie and I lagged behind. So I commented that Cord always raced up there, and she said, well, he isn't really racing, but to me he was. So we sped way up, and all of a sudden I look up, but I don't know why I was looking down, but I look up, and he stopped right in front of me. And I hit the brake, sort of the brake, the front one. And usually you expect a little give. There was no give. It went, and I went right over the handlebars. And I landed on both hands and a knee, bent the bike tire. But I had no blood flowing anywhere. It was a miracle.
Amen.
It was a miracle, and I got up, and I was fine. I don't know how, but I was. And it just seemed like slow motion. Woo! Right toward my face, coming up. Anyway, I'm just thankful to be here in one piece and fine.
It was not slow motion, and I was very concerned. But he kept telling me that he was okay. I didn't believe him.
Isn't it good to know God watches out over us? Even in our frailties and misunderstandings and so on and so forth.
This last week, our oldest grandchild, Gannon, signed with the Marines, and he has a senior year yet, and he will go, I think, August of 2019, and he has been struggling, and I think it's I think that senior year is just not all it's cracked up to be, because the kids have such a burden to know, what am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to go to school? What am I going to do if I don't go to school? That kind of thing. And I called him on his birthday and had a pretty long conversation with him, and he seemed almost giggly. I think it relieved such a burden. And I think he wasn't sure he would really go do that, although he's been saying he was going to. So you might pray for Gannon, his senior year. And then we also had four grandkids for about 5 days. And in that space of time, Mylan made something with each one of them, starting with Ian and Ethan. I have Ian, Ethan, and Easton in the same family, and I never know who I'm looking at. With Easton, or I mean Ethan, I always stutter. I'll go Ethan. Finally, I'll come to it. And then we have Eli and Kirk's family. I don't know what they were thinking, but anyway, we're thinking of us because we don't know who they are. But and he made something with each of the three boys, right? And then Janie comes up and she says to Papa, am I going to be the only one to go home with nothing? And so he made with her a wooden fairy wand with a star on the top. So everybody went home with something, but we had a grand time. And, of course, they got to eat whatever they wanted to. I mean, shoot. I didn't want to fix some of the good stuff anyway. So we had a great time, and we're thankful for those kids.
Anyone else? Cordell wants a turn. Awesome, Cordell. Now that's coercion.
I went to Sky Lodge Christian Camp this summer in, where is it? Montello, Wisconsin. And we had a great time with my cousins, two boys and a girl. No, two girls. And we had a great speaker. His name is Jeremiah Bullock. He really touched a lot of people. And on Wednesday, we had testimonies. So most people went up there and gave something that they wanted to change or that was happening to them. So I thought that was really great. And it touched a lot of people's hearts that night. And Friday, we had communion. And everyone was sad to go home. But we had to. I had a 14-hour drive back home with a trailer. So,
and a storm.
Yeah, and a storm. But we had a great time. We had good food. We played a lot of games at night. One day we played glow-in-the-dark, capture the ball. It was like a beach ball with a glow stick inside of it. It was fun, and there was a lot of activities. They had some new ones. They had a lot of arts and crafts ones, and they put in a rock wall, so it was really fun to climb the rock wall, and they have like four different layers with one that like each one has like a different part at the top, so that was really fun.
Awesome. Let's give those two a round of applause. Good job, guys. They didn't know that they was doing this until we was going to class, so they didn't have a lot of prepared time, otherwise they would have prepared a day at the beach or something, I'm sure. So, but we need to thank God for His provision in our lives and how He works things out, even sometimes when we just for sure that it isn't going to work out right and we aren't sure what we ought to do. This last week we found out that He's always watching over us, and He's going to make sure that we understand where we're headed and what we're doing. And sometimes we get on ourselves or get down because life isn't going the way we want it to, or things aren't going the way we want it to. But, you know, God always has a way of helping us realize that we're on the right path. We're headed in the right direction. It just may take us a little longer to get there. So let's allow God to work in our lives. Let's watch for Him doing that and taking care of us as we walk down this path. Let's bow our heads for a moment of silent prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning, and our hearts are either joyful or not. We all come as we are. We come with heartaches. We come with praises. We come knowing, Lord, that You will take care of us. Knowing that Your hand is upon us. think of Mary's brothers and the prayer that has been answered there, and the praises that we hear, and we just thank you, Lord, for watching over them. And we have all kinds of joys with our families, with our grandkids, with our just allowing you to help us to love on those that you have given us, those that are a part of our families, those that we need to enjoy while we're here, those that we need to instill your love and affection into, those that need to know what it means to truly be a Christian, to walk with them, to guide them, and at some point allow us to be examples, good or bad. And so we ask, Lord, that you watch over our families. Watch over those that come and see us. Watch over us as we walk down this path together. As we hold one another up. As we see one another as children in Christ. As children growing. As a group that we need to move forward with love, respect, and joy with one another. So this morning, Lord, we're happy to be here. We ask, Lord, that you open our hearts and minds that we can leave here knowing that it was good to be in the house of God. Not just because we got to see everybody or we can make a check mark on our list or anything like that, but know that it was good to come and to worship you in spirit and in truth, to worship you in all ways, singing and praises, studying at your feet. So this morning, Lord, we just ask that you open our hearts and minds and you allow your Holy Spirit to open us up. Open our mind's eye that we might see what you'd have us to see. To internalize the things that you'd want us to know and do as we walk back out those doors. So this morning, Lord, we're going to allow you to take over this service. We're going to allow you to just help us to only see you. So this morning, Lord, we just come humbly. And all God's people say, amen. I just want you all to know that if you missed the community service last Sunday, I realize some of us had to work and couldn't make it, but if you missed it, you missed a great sermon. Justin done one fine job helping us to realize how important prayer and unity was really all about. And so, with that understanding, I think we need to stop and really think about what God wants, or that God wants us all to be saved. Not just some, not just a few, not just certain ones, not a certain elect group that he decided on before we were all born, but everyone. And I think that's where we might have a slight disconnect as a culture, as a people, that once in a while we don't always, at least for me, I don't always see other people for who they are. You know, I grew up in the era, which is kind of going, is still with us. It's a bad understanding, but it is an understanding that we should not judge one another. I'm here to tell you that's wrong. If we don't judge one another, how are we going to know who's Christians and who aren't? Any ideas? If we don't look at people for who they are, what they do, and where they're going, how do we ever know who really needs God? And the sad part of it is, I'm afraid there's a lot of people out there that if you ask them if they were Christians, they would be happy to tell you they were. And they would be happy to tell you exactly what church they go to. But they won't be so happy to tell you how often they went there. And quite honestly, they probably couldn't even tell you what the church actually believes. Because all they ever did was pray a prayer or went to some class and somebody told them that they are now Christian. Doesn't work that way. It never worked that way. And so this morning I'm going to read a text that everybody knows almost by heart, but you know, there's just no reason to make a mistake, right? So we're going to read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And we're going to discuss that ever so slightly. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What he commanded you. You know, Christ didn't walk this earth just because he wanted to come down and learn who we were. He really didn't need to know that. I hear that quite often, that Christ walked this earth so he understands more than he did before. I hate to tell you this, but he's walked with us all along. This isn't something new. It just happens to be something that he done for us, not for him. He came to prove that you could be human and not, quote unquote, sin. We discussed this in class this Sunday school this morning, that we all sin, but there's a difference between making a mistake or getting tempted past where you think you could be tempted and an all-out defiance of God and his teaching. Okay, let's make that there's a fine line between them. We're all going to make mistakes. We're human. But Christ didn't come here just to learn how to deal with temptation. He came to prove that it could be done. Now, I think he cheated because he's deity, right? He is God-man. For some of us, it's a little harder than for others. Some of us are bent to actually hear and understand and follow. And then there's others of us that have decided this is where we're headed and we're going there no matter what. I'm a little that way. You can ask Carol, once I get my mind on something, I'm headed there. It may kill me, it may hurt really bad, but I'm going to make it. I'm going to be bloody, whatever. But I'm going. And throughout our financial life, that has caused us great pain. Because I went there anyway. And as Christians, don't we tend to do kind of the same thing? Once in a while, we don't really listen to that little voice inside and we make mistakes that we really know we probably shouldn't, and we make those mistakes and we tell ourselves it's okay. We're all like that. So we have to stop and know who is and who isn't a Christian. We can look at ourselves and know that it isn't that tough to realize that just because somebody does something that you don't think is quite right doesn't make them a bad person, so to speak. If they're doing something that isn't right and it's harmful and you know it's sinful and they do it time and time and time again and they really don't care, hey, we can judge them for who they are. We can't judge them about where they're going. We can't condemn them for what they did. But that's our end to know who needs prayer. That's our end to know who needs help. That's the only way we're ever going to know who needs us to walk beside them, to put an arm around them. I was listening to a book on tape. Well, actually, it's not. It's on, I don't know what it's on. It's just on my phone, right? I downloaded it. It's there. It's digital, I guess. Anyway, it was talking about this guy that went over into Africa, and he was over there for his two-week visa trip or whatever. And anyway, he was walking back from their camp meeting thing they were doing, and the pastor of that church reached out and grabbed him by the hand. Now, this is about a 35-year-old man that I'm talking about, and this pastor of about 35 or 40 reached out and grabbed his hand and walked him a mile and a half holding his hand. He says, you know, that really bothered me. I didn't know what I was walking into. I didn't understand the culture. It bothered me that someone was holding my hand that technically wasn't female. That wouldn't have bothered him if she was female. Not in our culture. In their culture, it doesn't make any difference. It's showing affection. It's showing love for one another. Too many times we allow our culture to change what Christ wants us to do. Sometimes we don't reach out and help one another because, well, we just can't do that in our culture. We can't make them feel bad. We can't make them feel ashamed. That's just wrong. Well, I'm here to tell you the only way we're ever going to get to the altar, so to speak, we're going to use that as a very broad term, okay? The only way we're going to get to the feet of Jesus and actually allow our lives to be surrendered right there is if somebody doesn't help us be ashamed. If I have no idea what I'm doing is wrong, how would I ever know that I need to change? See, that's the problem with our culture. I have trouble with being politically correct. Not because I don't like people. Not because I don't think we ought to treat people with love and respect. But we still have to treat them so we understand what and why God has left us here for. And the only way we can do that is if we are, quote unquote, culturally not correct. If I can't tell you that homosexuality is a sin, then why are we here? If I can't tell you that murder is a sin, why are we here? Sin is sin. And we need to be able to understand and know when it is that we need to see or help someone else. Now, I don't believe that we ought to take advantage of the poor, people of other races, people that don't understand. I'm against all those kind of things. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm not against is calling a spade a spade. Calling sin, sin. Being willing to, in love and gentleness, come beside those around us so they know what it means to be a real Christian. Because for most of us, there's a little work in there. For most of us, we really need to stop and think about some of these things because, quite honestly, this thing doesn't work the way I want it to. We really don't know how to talk to people. We really don't. We are so overwhelmed with this idea of not being politically correct that we have actually lost our own story. I mean, if we'd really reach down and grab our own story and really tell it for the way that we felt it at the time we felt it, the reason why we're Christians and we're in this building today, most of us would have a certain amount of political correctness that we would have had to fix there. Because it was that part of us that wasn't politically correct that we was fixing. It's okay to make people feel bad, as long as you're doing it in God's understanding, as long as you're doing it in such a way that they see that you're looking for their best interest. You know, too many times back in the day, they would take their Bibles and they'd beat us on the head and they'd tell us what bad kids we were, and that was it. They didn't teach us how to be better kids. They just told us we was bad. It's not about being bad or good. It's not about being beat on the head with the Bible. It's about understanding that people need to find God. And God left us here to do the job. Now, if we was to go to Luke 3:2, it says, "During the priesthood of Ananias and Caiaphas," I knew I was going to do that. Anybody want to help me? Caiaphas. There we go. I have trouble with that one every time. "The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight the paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight and the rough ways smooth." And verse 6, "And all the people will see God's salvation." All the people will see God's salvation. You don't think that John the Baptist was just a tad bit nervous? Don't you think that John the Baptist kind of had to suck it up and do it anyway? See, I think once in a while as Christians, we don't really understand we need to suck it up. I'm always telling Ashlyn when she's grumbling about pulling weeds or something, I tell her, "Suck it up, buttercup. Let's move forward." But as Christians, we need to do that. We need to suck it up. We need to be willing to be bold. Why should I have anything to do with your Christianity if we aren't even bold enough to talk about it? That's why John and his ministry worked so well is because John believed everything he was saying. John believed that God sent him and only him down to the Jordan River to baptize people, to get them to repent, to turn from their ways and go down that non-crooked way, right? Because the Bible tells us it's going to straighten out the crooked path. He's going to fill the valleys, level the hills. God is going to make all that straight for us. And that may bring us to the one thing that we don't deal with enough. Why would God do that? Why would God make straight the way? Why would He take out all the hills and valleys? Why would He make it easy for us to walk through? Don't you suppose He just wants us to do what He asks us to do? See, and I find as we're thinking about that, we can stop and understand that Christ didn't leave us here alone, right? The Holy Spirit is with us. God's always with us. He takes care of us. Romans 10:11 says, as scriptures say, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. Is that how we see our Christianity today? Is that how we see our walk? Is that how we see our witness? Without shame? Or do we worry more about what people will think about us than what God could do to us on Judgment Day? Think about it. Are we more scared to tell our story and why we believe what we believe than we are of what God can do to us? How are we ever going to do the Great Commission if we aren't willing to stand? See, God loves all people. Christ came to this earth to help us understand that He loved us more than life itself. Christ did not come to this earth just so we could know that He understands our frailties. He already knew that. He made us. He came to this earth so we would understand that He would always be with us. That His love transcended our understanding. That He would make the way straight for us. He'd make sure that we weren't ashamed of what we believe, as long as we were willing to believe it. To exhort it. To glorify God with our understanding. As Christians, as members of this church, we believe that evangelism is part and parcel of what Christianity really is. It is part of who we are in our DNA. We only grow a church because we're willing to evangelize those that we know are hurting. To evangelize those that need our help. And we can only do that if we understand that Christ loves us unconditionally. He came to this earth and died on a cross, not to find out what temptation was about. He did that to prove his love for us and help us to know that no matter what we're walking through or what predicament we're walking ourselves into, that he will take care of us. He will make sure that we aren't ashamed of who we are. And he'll always love us unconditionally. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the understanding of knowing that being your evangelist, just like John, takes boldness, takes understanding, takes one that has allowed you to guide and direct their lives totally. And so we ask, Lord, that your mighty hand be upon us, that you open us up and help us to know you. Help us to know ourselves. Help us to see our friends as who they are. Help us to reach out and be helpful. Help us to pray, to come alongside. Help us to be your evangelists, those that are willing to go out and be your voice in a wilderness. And we ask this in your precious name.